Important dates in Christian history. 1273. Thomas Aquinas completes work on Summa Theologica, the theological masterpiece of the Middle Ages. Aquinas synthesized faith and reason, incorporating Aristotelian philosophy into his work, and provided a theological framework for Catholic doctrine. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Maybe, just maybe, this could be an evangelistic tactic that works for you. This is Wretched Radio. Out to the University of Georgia we go to do a bit of an experiment. You see, I wanted to kind of play around with an idea to perhaps position the bad news of the gospel with some information that would perhaps keep people from being so argumentative. And I got the idea from Blaise Pascal. He was the fellow who was pondering why so many people are becoming atheists. Now, this goes back centuries, and he was trying to noodle, why is it that so many people aren't following in the faith? And he came up with a musing, which he never fully fleshed out. What if we present God in such a way that he becomes so amazing, people will just wish that he actually existed? And then we demonstrate that he does, because that's how amazing God is. He is the greatest thing that we can imagine. So I decided to take that idea to go out to a campus and position my presentation of the gospel in that way. Can I tell you this is something you should do every time? Absolutely not. Might it be something that is helpful for you? Perhaps. Why? Because when I did this, I did not encounter anybody who got really snarky. Doesn't mean that it's some sort of Teflon way to present the gospel, but I will say it did help the conversation go smoothly. So what you're about to hear is a conversation that I had with a young man from Ireland who went to a Catholic school, who was told by a priest, why don't you just become an agnostic? Yeah, not kidding. I presented the gospel by framing it with, what if God were like this? Would you want to know that God? I gave it a go. You're going to eavesdrop, and then you can determine, is that something you can use or not? Prepare to meet Tiernan.
All right, so this is Thea the Pooch, and you are originally from Ireland.
Yes, sir. I am. Cool. Yeah.
Now, I want to ask you a question. This is just a bit of a thought experiment. All right. I want to start with the concept of God. All right. Do you have any sort of imagination about what you think God is?
I do. I actually, in Ireland, most schools are Catholic, just based off of everyone being Catholic and the culture there. So I grew up in an environment where we were really religious. Like on Fridays in school, we would actually go to Mass, and across the street there was a church. And when I came here, my parents put us in like private Catholic schools. And throughout the semester, I asked a lot of questions, and I got a lot of good answers, and I got a lot of iffy answers, and I wasn't sure what to think, and I kind of was just trying to figure it out for myself at that point. Like all the help with the church or the school, we had like priests and stuff in the school, and all the religion teachers, I would ask them anything I could anytime I had a question, and they all loved that I was so like involved with it and trying to figure it out. But Mr. Eaglin, my teacher for apologetics senior year, he told me at the end of the year, I think it might be a good idea for you to take a few years and just be agnostic. I think it would be a good idea for you to explore other faiths, and if this one isn't working for you, who's to say that we're the right one? And everyone has the right to believe what they believe. Everything has their own background and their own origins, so I think you should go and explore. So that's what I've been doing, but my family is predominantly Irish Catholic, so I do go to church, and I do still believe in a God. I'm just not sure to what degree or what sense.
Tiernan, right? All right. Tiernan, what was the big thing that you were stumbling over?
It was more of like how they would view the scriptures. It wasn't like the stories. It seemed like the way they were taking away certain things. It almost seemed like they were doing it to pick and choose to make it look better, rather than how it actually went. And I was kind of concerned with that. And I kind of felt like it was, of course, it was like this is how religion is. Like, you do just have to believe. You have to believe that it was all done in this good faith, and that's what faith is. Like, you just have to believe it was done for the betterment of humanity, and that this was actually how it was, and this is what God gave down to us.
Well, but what? Okay, so for instance, in the Bible, what was the thing that was troubling you, or what behavior or what story was causing you consternation?
I don't know if it was a story per se. I think it was just the modern Catholic Church. I think with like media, and I was very involved, like keeping up with all of it, and the way I just saw it evolve, and the way I saw like how Catholics were and like how they were viewed by the world, and how they have such a heavy influence in the world. Like Pope Francis is one of the only non like world leaders that is regarded as a world leader. People listen to him, people actually like have events with him, and like I understand he's the head of the biggest church in the world, but it kind of seemed to me like church and state, separation of church and state. And like it seemed like somewhere along the way they felt that the religion would die out, or would not die out, but wouldn't be as strong if they couldn't root the ties to those, like the state, to make sure people were following the laws and all that. And it ended up getting to a point to me where I started to believe myself that I'm not sure if it was all done out of God, or if this guy Jesus was just a really good guy, like a guy who preached to the people. And back then, like, it was rougher times, like it was different times. People were, like, a lot of things were just easier. Murder was, you walk over to the next town, stab someone, walk away, and that's it. So it was just that the moral structure that they built was, I thought it was really great, and I do still live my life by that. I'd live my life by the morals of the Catholic Church, definitely. But in my opinion, I just believe that they kind of went too far with their reach.
If there were a God that would be willing to wipe your slate clean, so all the bad stuff that you've put out, he's willing to completely forgive. What if there were a God who was willing to take any feelings of shame that you might have for doing those things, whatever it was, public, private, and he could make that go away? What if there were a God that was willing to actually give you hope? Not just like this was a pretty good day, but a hope that there is something transcendent, something bigger, something better in the future.
More meaningful.
More lofty than just this.
And that's my, I guess, reason for not shying away from religion as a whole. And like I said, I'm not against Catholicism. I like.
Well, let me finish my thought experiment on you. All right. Sorry. Okay, that's all right. What if this God could give you purpose in your life? In other words, when you wake up in the morning, there's a reason to get up. And if this God could remove that fear that we all tend to have, that if we were to die today, that it might not go well for us in the afterlife. If there were an entity in the universe that could do all of that because he is good and he is kind and he is loving and he's willing to deal with all of those problems for you, would that God be of interest to you, Tiernan?
Yes, he would. And he still is, in my opinion. I do think it is. Like, the whole idea of it to me is just something that a lot of people... Like I said, I went to Catholic schools all my life, and a lot of people genuinely still find it great. Like my younger brother, he's a soccer player at Belmont Abbey, and he is the most religious person I know.
Then let me keep reasoning with you just a bit. Mm-hmm. All right? You and if you don't feel like tagging along, you just stop me. Mm-hmm. All right? I think that sense that we have inside of our brain that promotes feelings like guilt and shame and a fear of dying, I think we're hardwired for that.
I think I could see that.
And I think that we have that sense inside of us because it was built into us as an alarm mechanism to warn us there's danger ahead. There is, I look around, I see the creation, I intuitively know there's a creator. I have this sense of justice, and I realize I have not put out good things. I've done bad things either verbally or physically, even in my mind. I've got this sense. This is shameful. I'm guilty, and I'm going to have to pay a price for this. I think that comes from your maker, because you're made in his image, and he gave you that conscience so that you could understand that you need forgiveness. You can't pay for your own bad karma. You can't do a guilty criminal. can't just erase his debt by walking a little old lady across the street.
Yeah.
Justice must be satisfied. God, knowing that you can't satisfy that justice yourself, to demonstrate his kindness and his love for you, sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take on human flesh, to represent us, to be just like us in that he had a human body, but he was fully God. He never did those bad. He never generated anything that would be bad karma. He always did what was right, always behaved, always did what he should be doing, always loved the way that he was supposed to, never lusted, never lied, never dishonored his parents. He was fulfilling all righteousness. He went to a cross where he was hung, beaten, bruised for you, for your iniquities. God was pouring out his wrath on his son on your behalf so that you could be forgiven, so that your guilt could be removed, your shame could be erased. You wouldn't have to fear death anymore because he conquered death by rising from the dead. And you can be in a right relationship with that God. If that's true, Tiernan, would you want to be in a relationship with that deity?
That's right. Gonna leave it right there. A good old-fashioned radio cliffhanger. Prepare to hear Tiernan's response. Does my positioning of the gospel in this way yield any sort of positive fruit when we return on Wretched Radio? You'll hear, yeah, and no, it doesn't. Next on Wretched Radio.
Most of us haven't really thought about persecution, not the real kind, not the kind where following Jesus actually costs you something. But Christians throughout history have indeed faced it. And depending on where things are headed, we might too. So what does the Bible say you're supposed to do when the pressure mounts? That's exactly what our resource, Persecution, is all about. It's teaching built on the book of 1 Peter with historical context from the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You'll get a biblical framework for faithfulness when things aren't easy anymore. Fix your hope on heaven, grow in holiness, and submit to authority, unless they tell you to sin, and keep proclaiming the gospel anyway. This is honest teaching, and it's more timely than any of us may want to admit. Persecution, available now on Fortis Plus. Download the app for free on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, there's no shortage of voices telling women how to handle anxiety, how to navigate relationships, how to find their identity. Honestly, most of it sounds pretty good until you realize it's just self-help slapped with Bible verses. That's not the same thing as biblical wisdom, and that's why we at Fortis Institute present to you The Better Way with Libby Glosson. Libby is an ACBC-certified biblical counselor, and she's not just interested in giving you coping strategies. No, Libby's desire is to take you to Scripture and show you what God actually says about the things that you're actually walking through. And this is the kind of content our gospel partners are making possible. If the content we're producing at Fortis Institute has been meaningful to you, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like for you to be a part of getting content like The Better Way into the hands of women who need it. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. 369 million. That's how many people are a part of the New Apostolic Reformation movement. And if you've never heard of it, that's part of the problem. Maybe you have heard of Jesus culture. Maybe your teenager listens to their worship music. Maybe your church sings their songs on Sunday morning. But you don't know what they actually teach and where it leads. Drunk in the Spirit pulls back the curtain on one of the most destructive forces in Christianity today. Who are these people? What do they believe? And why should it matter to your family and your local church? This isn't fear-mongering, it's education, because you can't guard against something you don't recognize, and this movement has tentacles in places you wouldn't expect. If you care about protecting your family and your church from false teaching that sounds Christ-centered, but it's not, this is essential. Drunk in the Spirit, it is streaming now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Titles of Christ.
In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the door. A door serves to provide or prevent access. Thieves and robbers are prevented from entering in, but those who trust in Christ are able to come through him into eternal salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's get back out to Georgia State University. If, and you recall, tried to position the gospel with Tiernan. If this were all really, really true, isn't this amazing? Wouldn't you want to know the God who died for sinners? Prepare to hear Tiernan's answer as you go about the business of determining, is this something I could utilize in a witness encounter?
God was pouring out his wrath on his son on your behalf so that you could be forgiven, so that your guilt could be removed, your shame could be erased. You wouldn't have to fear death anymore because he conquered death by rising from the dead. And you can be in a right relationship with that God. If that's true, Tiernan, would you want to be in a relationship with that deity?
I would, yeah. But the words that you use there, if that's true, is what I'm trying to find.
Fair enough. Right, that's very fair. All right. So let's now see if we can jump over the if. All right. So tell me, what would be your big objection? Now, if you can, as best you can, Tiernan, forget about your Roman Catholic past. Just you sitting here on this stoop. What is it that would keep you from being in a right relationship with that God?
I would actually cite the state of the world right now, state of humanity. The way things are, you look around like the news. I'm a finance major and I read the news all the time. I invest in stocks. When I first started when I was 12, like, I genuinely became depressed for a little bit. I had to go get like psychological help because they told me to limit my intake of the news.
Because bad out there. Now let's see. Let's see, that's a hurdle. You maybe have more, but let's just see if the Christian worldview can explain that hurdle, all right? Because I don't think Buddhism can, and I don't think Hinduism can, but I think Christianity can. Go back to Genesis. You remember God created the world, and what did he say after each day that he created the world? It was, do you remember?
It was good.
And
it was
good. And when he finished, he said, it is very good. So God creates this beautiful planet with lovely things to enjoy. Then what did man do immediately in the garden? God said, don't eat of that tree. Don't eat the fruit. What did we do?
We ate the fruit.
What was the consequence?
We lost our paradise. We lost our eternal life, our clean souls.
That's it. There's your explanation. We see beauty because God made the place. We see evil because we brought it on ourselves, and there's a curse on this planet. So we see remnants of beauty, and yet we see terrible things happening. And I think that's the only worldview that harmonizes those two things that we observe.
That is actually something I have, in all my years, never been told. And that is a really good explanation. That is a really good argument for it.
Now, these other religions, I don't think that it's foolish to take a look at them to see, are they true? But I would just challenge you, Tiernan, as you think these things through, you're a smart guy. Do they answer questions like, why do I see good? Why do I see evil? How do these religions deal with my guilt problem? I can't shake it. What do I do with my shame? How do they get rid of the shame? How do they deal with my fear of death? How do they give me transcendent purpose beyond what I'm currently doing? I don't think any other religion can answer all of those questions in a harmonious way. Now, some of them might be able to answer one of them, but if they try to answer all of them, you put them together, they're not going to stand up, right? I think Christianity harmoniously explains what we observe and what we experience, and it takes care of all of those issues for you. So let me leave you with this, Tiernan. You're thinking about stuff a lot. But my friend, if you can't think of a major reason to surrender to Jesus Christ, I would suggest then today would be the day of salvation. You don't put it off. Because if what I'm explaining to you is true, it's not just an urgency because if you die, you'll go to hell, although that's true. But if you remember my premise, this God is good. This God is kind. He's willing to rescue you from yourself. He's willing to now take you, forgive you, bring you into right relationship with you. And then the Bible says that he starts to do a work on our emotions, on our thinking, kind of rewires our brains. You've mentioned emotional and perhaps needing, like I think you said, some help in the past with these issues, some psychological help. God is your psychological helper. The reason that your brain struggles goes back to that garden again because of the fall. It's called the noetic effect of the fall. It's a theological term which means we're under the curse. Everything groans because of the curse, including us. That's why our bodies fall apart and ache. That's why we don't think right. Brains just aren't wired right. God is now going to take your brain and rewire it and connect it to the right circuits. Rather than having a wrong version of the world, he's going to give you the right version of the way things are, and he's going to cause you to start thinking more and more in alignment with him, because he is reality. So Tiernan, that's what God offers you today: forgiveness of sins. You can be in a relationship with your maker. Shame gone, your past erased. The everlasting life is ahead of you, and he'll start helping you make sense of this life. And you'll increasingly go beyond anxiety and depression into a different realm. Peace and joy that surpasses your current understanding. He wants to give you life abundantly, not wealth, not perfect physical healing. He wants you to live rightly because you're living the way that he wants you to live. So that's the offer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is just a pleading with you to think this through urgently. I know you have been, but this is the best offer ever for you. Would you at least ponder that today?
I will, actually. And I really like that analogy you used of the rewiring the brain, because that, like, that makes sense. That clicks almost perfectly. The rewiring of the brain, it seems like those toxic thoughts that a lot of my friends who aren't in religion, that like the things that they have and the things that the way they view the world, it seems like the people that are in, like my little brother, for example, is a really good example. He's never down. He gets down, of course, when like he doesn't meet a goal of his, or like gets a little upset, but like everyone does. But like in the grand scheme of things, he's a very happy person. And he rarely sees trouble and rarely complains. And usually he just figures things out for himself, and it always seems to work out for him. And that analogy really clicks. And I actually think after this, I might go back. I do actually think I might look into it. Not go back immediately, of course. I would have to look back into it and start.
Can I encourage something?
Yeah.
All right, you've got a Bible, right?
I do have a Bible, yes.
I would like you to read the Gospel of Matthew, right? And as you may, it's pretty long. Okay, it's the longest gospel there is, but it shows you the life of Jesus. And I want you to look for something. There's a repeated theme. Jesus gave a Sermon on the Mount. You remember that. And he talked about, why are you worried? Why are you anxious? Look at the sparrows. God feeds them. Look at the lilies of the field. God clothes them. He makes them the beautiful things that they are. God takes care of them. Won't he take care of you, O you of little faith? And then we see stories throughout the Gospel of Matthew where, for instance, the disciples are out in the boat and the storm is raging and they're in a panic. Jesus is sound asleep, wakes up, and he asks them, why are you worried, O you of little faith? Peter, walking on water, sinks, and Jesus says, O you of little faith. He feeds thousands of people miraculously because he's God and he can do those things. And then the disciples are really worried because a big crowd of people are gathering and they don't think they can feed him. And he says, I just showed you miracle after miracle. O you of little faith. What he's getting at with that, Tiernan, is when we're anxious about stuff, it's because we're believing in something very puny. We're probably believing in ourselves or our abilities or our skills or our money or our context, our looks, our humor. But God wants us to believe in him. And when we put our trust in the greatest entity in the universe who is on our side, and he demonstrated by dying for you, you don't worry about anything else. Because your biggest problem has been solved. The greatest entity of the universe is on your side. Believe him and your anxieties will dissipate. That's just one way that God will help you start to rethink about things and get things in order. Okay? So read the Gospel of Matthew. Watch for those stories. And if as you are reading that, you recognize this is the only true and living God, so in other words, the other systems are wrong, then I would encourage you, call out to him. Surrender. The biblical term is repent. You turn from your sins. It's not that you become perfect, but you don't want those anymore. You want him. You don't want to believe in God just because you don't have to go to hell. You want to believe in God because he's been so kind to save you from hell. We should desire to be with this God who is the best entity in the universe, and he'll save you, and he'll forgive you. He'll adopt you into his family, and then he'll start to fix your emotions and your thinking progressively as you keep reading his word. So don't go to the Catholic Church. Go to the Bible. Fair enough?
Fair enough. I will look into that. I'll try that. That's something I have not tried.
Did Tiernan get saved from my positioning of the gospel in a Blaise Pascal kind of way? Not on the spot. Perhaps he did afterwards. Don't know about that. So, no, somebody didn't get saved from that method. But perhaps, just maybe, that will be a way of framing the gospel for you that might at least keep you from getting into some of the typical squabbles and maybe even antagonistic conversations than perhaps you have had in the past. Please remember, your mileage may vary. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.